morning and welcome. We are glad that you're here with us today. Thank you again for all of you who are visiting because of the baby dedication. We are glad and honored by your presence with us, and we hope you feel welcome. This morning we are in the book of Luke. If you want to start making your way to Luke chapter 17, just to kind of catch you up and or remind you of what's going on, we're working through the whole book of Luke. We've spent several months in it, and we are in chapter 17 right now. If you remember, between chapters 10 and 20, Jesus is on a journey. He's headed toward Jerusalem, and what Luke has done as an author, he's compiled and he's kind of compacted and put all of these stories in chapters 10 through 20. And what he's doing is he's talking about discipleship, what it means for us to be disciples, and how it is that we as believers should act, and should the attitudes we should have, the ways we should treat others, the words we should speak. And he's talked at length about being generous, and he's talked about being obedient, and he's talked about various ways in which we as Christians or as disciples should behave. And so that's what's going on in these 10 chapters or so. And so we're smack dab in the middle of that. And he's used parables and he's used teachings of Jesus. And this morning he's going to use a story to teach us that as Christians, as believers, that we should be a people who show appreciation, that we should respond, and that we should recognize what God is doing in our lives, and that we should be appreciative of that, and that we should let God know that we are thankful because of what he has done. So let's look at this. Remember, Jesus is on a journey. That's part of the text this morning. He's traveling on his way to Jerusalem. And so we pick up with that, starting in verses 11. We'll read through verse 19 of chapter 17. And this is what Luke tells us is going on. He says, while traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with serious skin disease met him. Yours may say leprosy. And they stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he told them, go and show yourself to the priest. And while they were going, they were healed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and said with a loud voice, gave glory to God. And he fell face down at his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he told him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. So this morning, let's look at this passage and see what Jesus is teaching us and what Luke is trying to help us understand as disciples of Jesus. And that is, I've got one point today, and that is to show appreciation. To show appreciation. Do you show appreciation in your life? Do you show appreciation to people who do things for you? Do you show appreciation for your parents or for your spouse or for what your children have done? Do you show appreciation at work or in leisure time? Are you a person who has gratitude as part of your natural way of showing or talking to people? And a lot of us do not. A lot of us have expectations, but no gratitude. And so this morning, I want to talk to us about this idea of being appreciative or showing appreciation. Now, in the story, there's some things that are going on that we as 21st century Americans aren't really going to grasp and aren't really going to understand. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the cultural implications of what's going on behind this. There's two particular things that are in tension here, or two particular cultural tensions that I want to bring out. The first one is the issue of leprosy or skin disease. Now, there's a disease that we have today called leprosy, and many of you probably heard of it. Not a whole lot of people get it, but it's my understanding that armadillos are a particular animal that carry it, so it kind of, you might want to stay away from those. But leprosy is a disease that kind of eats away at your body and destroys it. And it tends to start with your appendages and works its way up to eventually it kills you and you die of your body being degraded and infection and things like that. And so that is one form of leprosy. But the idea of leprosy was kind of put together as a whole of any kind of skin disease. So if you had anything from like eczema or any other kind of a rash, or if you had some other skin ailment that was just kind of put together as leprosy or put together as a skin disease. And what it did was it determined in the culture or in the group, remember these people are living close together, that you were unclean. Meaning that you, no matter how bad it was or how not so bad it was, that you had to leave the group, you had to leave the community and go and be by yourself or be with another group of lepers or in this colony with lepers. And so what it meant was, you've lost relationships. You lost what it means to be with your family. You've lost those connections and those relationships. And it also means that you've lost access to worship at the temple. You could not go because you were unclean to the temple. And so it was a desperate situation, and it was a very contagious, generally, situation. And so people didn't want you around them. Matter of fact, you had to go around and kind of cover your head and yell out if someone was coming. You would have to yell, unclean, 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 so that the other person knew not to come around you. And so you got these 10 people kind of living together because they all have these skin issues. It's the only relationships that they have. And at least one of them is a Samaritan. Now, I've talked about it before, but just kind of remind you that Samaritans and Jews were not exactly friends. They had they were rivals. They had problems with one another. Jews saw them as half-breeds and saw them as not pure and therefore defiled and not worthy of God. These were a group of people who, during the 8th century B.C., that when the Assyrians came in and took over the northern 10 tribes of Assyria, what they did was the Assyrians would take some as slaves, and they would bring other slaves there. And what happened is the people intermarried, and they intermixed, and they became a mixed race of people, and they were not 100% Jews. Not only that, but maybe even more, was the fact that they worshipped on a different place. They worshipped at a different temple than the one in Jerusalem. And so there was this competition between them. There were theological issues. There were racial issues going on, ethnic issues going on. And so they did not like each other. As a matter of fact, Jews and Samaritans tried to avoid each other at all costs. If they were going from one place to the other, the Jews would walk around Samaria instead of going through it because they didn't want to be around them. And Jesus, on various occasions, interacts with Samaritans. We see it in John chapter 4, where Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, where Jesus goes to her and has a conversation with her. And other times where Jesus will talk to these people who aren't Jews. But here we have these two tensions that are in the background of the story, and that Jesus's congregation or Jesus's audience, and particularly Luke's hearers, would have known these and would have recognized, oh, there's lepers, you better watch out for them. And then when he says, oh, one was a Samaritan, it's almost as if he would have gasped and said, oh, Oh my goodness. So Jesus is entering this village, and these 10 men cry out. They cry out in hopes. They come to him, and they even though they're isolated, they approach Jesus. And again, they yell out from afar. And what they yell out for is that Jesus would have mercy on them. It was a cry of compassion, saying, Jesus, please help us. They wanted to be healed. And I think one of the application points, or one of the things that we can get from this, is that even though we are not perfect, that we are defiled, that we are unclean, that we are a people who are like the lepers, that Jesus is still approachable. That Jesus is still approachable. You can still come to Christ. No matter how defiled you are, no matter how messed up you are, no matter how much you've done that you think that God doesn't want anything to do with you, maybe your family has cast you out, maybe your friends have pushed you aside, and you have nobody and you have nothing, but know that Jesus is still approachable. And these 10 people who have this disease that isolates them from culture and from everybody else, from God, from society, from their families, from their friends, still recognize that Jesus is approachable. And you could come to Jesus no matter what's going on in your life. And so they do. They still obey the Old Testament call for them to call out. They still are doing the things that lepers are supposed to do. And they cry out for mercy. They cry out for healing. And the question is Jesus going to heal them? Now, we've been reading in Luke, and we've been walking through Luke, and we've seen that Jesus has healed people. We've seen that Jesus has done miracles. But will he do it this time? And what Jesus does is really simple. But again, in our culture, we don't recognize the impact of what Jesus tells them to do. Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. And so they leave. Now you need to understand that showing yourself to the priest was part of what you would do. It was part of the thing of being considered clean. It was part of saying, I've been healed, and I want you to inspect me, and I want you to declare me as clean, so that I can re-enter society, and so that I can go to the temple, so that I can go and worship, so that I can be with my family, I can be with my friends. And so in order to be considered to be allowed back into society and back into culture, these lepers, if they were healed, would go to the priest and say, check me out. No skin disease anymore. I've been clean. I've been cleansed. And you need to declare me as ritually clean. And you only did that after you were clean. You only went to the priest to say, look, it's already done. Now, what's important, or what's was kind of the catch in this story, is that these 10 guys are still unclean. They still have leprosy, and they begin to walk and go to the priest. And what that does, and what that teaches us, and it shows us that they had faith that what Jesus said would happen, would happen. They had faith that Jesus' command for them to go show themselves to the priest meant that he was going to clean them, meant that he was going to heal them, meant that he was going to restore them. And so they go. And it says that when they were on their way to the priest, they were healed. Their faith became action. Their faith put in virtually one step in front of the other, and they walked to the priest before they were healed with the faith that they would be healed. And this is amazing. This is not how you did things in this culture. This is not how things happen. And so we see how Jesus works in the lives of these people. And so they go. And they go to the priest. And the priest sees them. And the priest declares them clean, so that they again can become part of society. They can go home. They can go and see their wives. They can go and see their children. They can go and see their family again. After how many years or how much time has passed, we don't know. But imagine if you're in that culture. There's no such thing as a cell phone. You can't follow your family on Facebook. You can't check out what's going on TikTok. There's no Snapchatting going on. You are totally isolated, and to be able to come home is a marvelous thing. But one of the 10 realizes what God has done for him. And he goes back to Jesus. And he falls at Jesus' feet, and he begins to give glory to God. He begins to praise God. He shows gratitude. He shows appreciation for what God has done in his life. And Luke tells us that it was the Samaritan that did it. The guy you wouldn't expect. The bad guy in the story. The guy who was supposed to be the outcast in society. The one who wasn't the good Jew becomes the hero of Luke's story. And this Samaritan who normally would avoid Jesus, who normally would avoid Jews, comes and shows his gratitude. He comes and shows his appreciation, and he praises him. And Jesus' response is, hey, where's the other 9? Didn't I send 10? You're the only one who showed back up. And it's not that Jesus is not satisfied with the guy's response. It's not that Jesus is unhappy that he is showing appreciation. But Luke is showing us that it's very easy for us to get so caught up with life, so caught up with things, that we don't show God the appreciation he deserves. That all 10 of them should have come back and said thank you at the very least. All 10 of them should have showed back up to Jesus and showed appreciation and gave glory to God, but only one of the 10 did. And I think it shows us some things, and it should be a warning for us. That it is possible, one thing is that it is possible to have an experience with God, but not really know God. It's possible to have a experience in which we have this religious experience, yet not really know Jesus. The other 9 have an experience with God. He heals them. Yet they have no relationship with Jesus. Only one comes back and has the relationship. Only one comes back and knows that his faith has made him whole. Only one comes back. The other 9 have a religious experience, but have no relationship. And sadly, it is possible, and I'm afraid that many in the church today have had a religious experience with Jesus, but have no real relationship with him. You say, but they were healed, so they must have had a relationship. Not necessarily. Luke and John tell us that many followed Jesus for a while, that he did miracles and healed their sick and fed them and did all of these wonderful things, cast out demons. Yet they did not follow him long. They had an experience with Jesus, but they didn't have a relationship. And so I think we should take this warning, and I don't know where you are, and I would encourage you, are you someone who has a relationship with Jesus, or maybe did you just have an experience with him? This is a question that only you can answer, you and God, and so I encourage you to think through that. To not just have an experience, but to really know Jesus as your Savior. The other thing that I want to talk about or kind of pull out the story is that it is the Samaritan who goes to Jesus. That Jesus isn't just the God of Jews. That he is the God of everyone. And that the foreigner is as able to approach Jesus as the son of Abraham. That you could say, I'm not a Christian, I've not been around, I've not been raised a Christian, or I don't know about all of this God stuff, I don't know about all this Jesus stuff. I'm an outsider. I don't deserve it. But it was the Samaritan, the outsider, the one who didn't deserve it, who came to Jesus. And I encourage you to come to Jesus. And the final thing is this. Do you show gratitude? For everything that God gives you, do you show gratitude? There's an old hymn that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When was the last time you sat down and thought about all the good things God has done for you? Things you've asked him for and things you've not asked him for. Things you expect and things you don't expect. Do you have gratitude for those things to God? Have you showed your appreciation? Have you given him your thanks? Have you given him your all? As Chris plays, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. Maybe spend some time showing appreciation. Or if you've never come to Jesus and have a relationship with him, I'd love to talk to you about that. Would you come today? As Chris plays, you spend time with God thinking about that, reflecting on that. Father, we thank you that you are God who does not discriminate, that you don't show favoritism for one group over the other. Just as you healed all 10 of these men, that you give us all salvation if we seek it, if we accept it, if we give our life to you. I pray that if there's anyone here today who's not done that, that they would do that. And I pray that we would be a people of gratitude and appreciation. We thank you for the children in our church. We thank you for their parents and their grandparents and aunts and uncles. I pray that we would all take seriously our roles and encourage them and leading them to be godly people. God, I pray that you would bless them. In Jesus' name I pray.